Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this week's episode of the City Confessions. Today, we are joined by Alexis Wolf. She's the founder of New York City Date Night, which is a New York blog that has become the go-to resource for all things related to dating in the city. So hi, Alexis. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
I'm excited because, as you know, I just released the book and I feel like literally what my book is about and what your blog is about, it coincides hand in hand with the topic. So why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us who you are and what you do.
Yeah. So my name's Alexis and I founded the Instagram NYC Date Night. And it's kind of a marriage between dating and relationships and the New York City restaurant scene. It started out as I'm a native New Yorker. I grew up going out to eat, loving the bar and restaurant scene. But I began the Instagram when I was single and dating. So at that time, this was like over 4 years ago, there was no Instagrams that were kind of geared towards dating. And also all of the food accounts at that time were just kind of posting pictures of food and they weren't really reviewing the restaurants. Mm. So I found that there was, you know, that space and I grabbed it.
Yeah. And I love it. And how long ago was that?
Almost, I think 4 or 5 years ago. I honestly lost track.
Yeah. And then I know you are no longer single now.
Yeah.
So can you tell us how you met your boyfriend?
Yeah. So, now I am 33. I met him when I was, I was about to turn 31, I guess. And we matched on Hinge. Mm-hmm. And we were kind of chatting, but the conversation fizzled. I wasn't really like that sure about it. And I was just talking to a million people. but it turns out that we have mutual friends. One of my friends tagged me in one of her stories, and it turns out he knew her. So he reached out to her and we kind of got reconnected that way. And since they had good things to say about him, we ended up going out and mm-hmm. now we live together.
Yeah, I love it. I feel like you give me hope. And also I think just a lot of your audience, do you know if they're single for the most part?
Yeah, I have single followers, but I also have a ton in relationships, and the ones in relationships, you know, they still find the dating content entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
People, so they follow me for just my restaurant recommendations and other recommendations.
Okay. And then personally for you, what is like the biggest dating lesson that you've had over the years before you got into a relationship?
I feel like I spent so much time dating, thinking about if they like me, and not enough time thinking about if I liked them. So I would waste a lot of time just like hoping that I didn't get rejected and like trying to be the best version of myself just so that they would continue to want to date me, even if it wasn't the right person. And the truth is that there's like a million people in the world, but very few will actually like work out dating wise. Mm-hmm. So it's not, you know, it's not a loss if it doesn't work out. It's just like another person to check off the list. So get closer to hopefully, you know, yes, meeting someone that will work out. So I kind of like saw every failed date or relationship as like me losing. Whereas now I feel like now that I'm in a relationship and it's like a secure relationship, I realize that like why all the other ones didn't work out, whether it was, you know, timing or, you know, the person or whatever it is. And so, yeah, just really, if you're single and dating, like, stop focusing on whether they like you, stop taking it as a loss and a hit to the ego. I know it is, but really just like try to think about, like, is this, can this person truly be compatible with me? And do I like them?
I love that you said that. And like, I literally had a therapy session yesterday talking about exactly what you just said. And I wrote about this in my book about, you know, it's one step closer to meeting your person. And right. I feel like that quick reframing makes me and like other women who are single, I just think it gives us like, oh, it's okay. It's going to be all right. Like, it's not the end of the world. And of course, I'm not trying to be inconsiderate. I've been there when things haven't worked out and it's really, really hard. But I would love to bring it back to New York since we both are native and you obviously met your, I was going to say partner. I don't know. I use that word now. Boyfriend, partner. Yeah.
Oh, shit. Sorry. There's like ambulance.
Oh, that's New York for you. Just like the difficulties with dating in a city like in New York. So are most of your audience in New York? Like, what is the frequently asked question or struggle for, like,
I think that yes, I have very, very targeted New York City following. And the biggest struggle is just like, it's just all around. Like, I get people DMing me being like, I can't even find matches, you know, like there's no one even on the apps that like is like liking me, or there's no one that I like, or, you know, the next thing is like, we're talking, but he won't ask me out, or, you know, we've been dating, but like, now it's time to define the relationship. You know, how long should we be dating before I like bring that up? Should I bring that up? So it really spans, you know, all sorts of topics and like areas.
That's like comforting to know, just because I also obviously wrote up a lot about this in my book, talking about all the, it's not even issues, but I think as women, you go through this like internal battle, because I feel like we're just much more overthinkers than men. And anything that we do or like say, or like it's a second date, third date, we just have all these like thoughts in our head of like, is this going to be something? And I personally struggled with, you know, falling in love with potential. So did you ever do that as well? And like, how do you even like combat that? Because sometimes it's, I think it's hard to see the person for like them, just them, instead of what a relationship brings for you, like comfort, company, love, affection, and all of that.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's almost impossible to see them for just them, you know, and as a girl, it really is. And as girls, it's our nature to like see the best in people, want the best. And also we just want it to work out so badly. Like guys, even if they want a relationship, most of them, like, first of all, they don't have like the societal pressure, maybe pressure from parents or, you know, like friends or whatever, being like, why aren't you in a relationship? You're, you know, this year, 20 years old. And they're just not like, they're just a little bit, they're not as overthinkers. So they just don't care as much. So as girls, like, we just want it so bad and we want that love so badly. And we like have so much to give and we love like romanticizing things. So like, it's just so easy. And I have so many friends that are going through this currently where they'll meet someone and they have XYZ that like is correct and right. And they'll like ignore so many red flags, you know, and then it won't work out because it turns out that the guy's an asshole or whatever it is. And look back being like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I ignored all of these things just because I wanted it to work badly. So I don't know. It's like, it's always like, oh, next time it'll be better. But I think that it's just really, yes, you learn, but it's so much just a numbers game and like eventually just meeting that right person that like won't, you know, let you down.
Absolutely. So do you believe in soulmates?
I don't really, I don't know if I don't believe in it, but I just feel like it ties you down too much. Like if you only kind of like it's implying A, that like maybe there's just one person out there for you. Right. So it's putting so much pressure on that one person. And then like, you know, if it's your soulmate, you have to have these butterflies and this like these fireworks. And it's like, if you wait for that, you may be waiting your whole life. I mean, maybe you'll find it, but maybe you'll be waiting your whole life. And like, you know, so I don't like to use that term.
Yeah. I mean, I personally believe we have like multiple soulmates and not necessarily even a romantic sense. Like, I think like my best friend is like my soulmate, you know what I mean? So it's like, it can come in different forms.
Yeah.
So I would love to tie it back to your blog. And since creating it, what has been the biggest challenge like thus far?
I mean, just keeping up with like new content and always staying relevant. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's like always my fear. And like when I first started it, it was, you know, the new kid on the block. It was really exciting. People like loved it. I was also younger and going out a lot. So mm-hmm. I just feel like I'm always have the fear of, you know, becoming irrelevant or, you know, imposter syndrome. There's so many great creators out there. And it's like, you know, they're, you just, it's difficult not to compare yourself to them. Mm-hmm. And you know, comparison is the thief of joy. I remember I saw that in your book. Yes. And it's so true.
Yeah.
So that's my biggest, and also like people aren't super transparent about, it's still a relatively new field, like the Instagram world as a business. So just kind of navigating that and like figuring out how to maintain my own business.
And I know that you write a lot about like restaurants for either dates or going out with your girlfriends. How often do you update that list? And what does your schedule look like? Like, are you actively, you know, going to these places to check them out? Or like, how do you plan your blog posts around that?
Yeah, I mean, when I first started the account, I was like posting like twice a day. I would do a lot of reposting other people's content because I still had a full-time job. I would give them credit for the photos, but I would just, since I grew up here and I've been going out mm-hmm. to eat and drink my whole life, like I've been to so many places so I could review it. But now I try my best to go to at least two new places a week. I don't have the pressure of posting every day anymore. It's just now that when I first started Instagram, it was so much about posts. Now it's so much more about stories. So I can easily like repost and create content on my stories and then just post once every few days. But I do make it a point to go to a few new places a week, and I do push myself to go out to dinners, like even on nights that I would rather just order in or whatever it is.
Right.
And I try to update like highlights and stuff like that every week, at least a little bit, by adding, you know, new places.
Mm-hmm. On the flip side of that, of the challenge, what has been like your biggest accomplishment or highlight from your career thus far?
My biggest accomplishment and highlights. Mm-hmm. I mean, just the amount, just my followers, it's like such a intimate, like really dedicated group of people that I guess the first time that I like got recognized on the street, and then like it just kept on happening because, you know, so many of them go to the same places that I go to, or maybe are going there because I've recommended mm-hmm. them, or they live on, you know, I live on the Upper East Side. So many of my followers live on the Upper East Side. So just like meeting them and hearing them say like, I love your Instagram, you know, getting hundreds of questions a day, like, you know, asking for advice or recommendations. I think that was just like, it's just like, there's real people that are, you know, looking to me every day for all of these different things. And then just like being able to support myself, like from doing some, creating something that I believed in. Mm-hmm. That was just huge. And working with certain brands that I've always really admired is just super exciting.
So I know that you got into this because you were single and you didn't find like other, like a resource for yourself. But aside from that, like, where does the love for creativity come from? Like, have you always somewhat been a creative person? Because I see what you do as a creative outlet.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've always been, like on the artsier side. Mm-hmm. I loved art, and I tried to do like the desk 9 to 5 and I hated it. And I just knew that I needed to like be on my own terms. And at our graduation, I went to a really small all girls school, and like each of us stood up on stage while a different teacher kind of, you know, briefly spoke about us. And the teacher that spoke about me was like, Alexis will be a food critic one day.
No way.
And I didn't even know where that came from. I guess I was always just talking about stuff like that, like talking about the restaurants I was going to, or, you know, I did like writing a lot, and creative writing. So yeah, I think that mm-hmm. I've always been creative, and I needed that sort of outlet in order to like enjoy what I was doing, for sure. And I just, like I said, needed to work for myself. Like, I just mm-hmm. had a really hard time with anyone telling me what time to be somewhere and what to do, and sitting at a desk when like I knew that I didn't have to be there. Like, let's say all my work was done, but like, just because you have to be there from 9 to 5, you know, that really bothered me.
Oh my God. I said the same thing, because I used to work in like a desk job as well. And that was one thing I just could not understand. Like, you technically could leave, but it was also this unspoken rule, like, you can't.
Yeah.
And I would just be on my desk. And that's how I was like working on my blog. But I was like, there's no work. And that's normal sometimes. You know, you have your busy phases, and you'll have the time when literally the inbox will be zero emails. And I'm like, what am I doing with my life?
That's why working from home has been so great for so many people. So.
Yeah.
Like, so much more flexibility.
Yeah. And in between, you can like clean your desk and do some random household chores, mm-hmm. like in between. Mm-hmm. Okay. Exactly. So right now in this particular part of your life, are you stressing about anything? Because I feel like I always stress about things. Mm-hmm. And people who see your account, they see only what you post. Mm-hmm. And of course, they don't see the chaotic things. So like, just either professionally or personally, like, what's on your mind?
I'm always stressing about something. I always will be. And I'm sure that like partially it's like, I don't know, I'm Jewish. We like have extra anxiety. Am I making the right decisions? Like, you know, like you said, soulmate, should I believe in a soulmate? Like, does that mean that my boyfriend isn't my soulmate and it's possible someone is?
No.
You never know. Like, it's just, there's certain things, you know, should I live in New York City my whole life? Or when I have kids, should I leave it? And then what am I going to do about my Instagram? You know, mm-hmm. I've lived in like places like Miami for a few months at a time, and I was still able to kind of keep up both, you know, locations. But, you know, I'm a certain age. Should I start having kids? How many kids? And, you know, is this something that like is feasible long-term when I do have a family? Am I still going to be, you know, able to do what I'm doing now? Mm-hmm. Or should I be trying to think more into the future and pivot to, you know, be able to make my future more realistic? Mm-hmm. So it's so many things. I can't even, the list goes on and on.
But no,
you know how it is.
I feel you. And I think partly is because we're New Yorkers. So we're constantly drilled ever since we were young with this like hustle and, you know, energy of the city, where if you don't keep up, you basically fall behind. And I like came across this TikTok video, and it sounds so simple, but it's so true, how there's like a million thoughts in our head from like morning to night, and we never really live in the present. And I'm like, I'm so guilty of that, because I'm always thinking about tomorrow or like a month from now, just like what you were saying, like years and everything. But it's like, not to sound all like morbid, but like the future isn't guaranteed. And like the only way to truly like live your life is to whatever's happening in front of you. Yeah. And it sounds again so simple, but it's like really hard personally for me to do that. So I think all of your thoughts and concerns are like super valid, especially since it pertains to your blog, like your basically source of income, like who you are right now. So yeah, but that's just life.
No, totally. I I am like so guilty of living in the future and not in the present. And you can waste, you know, the good things that you have in the present by always thinking about the future. So it's a good reminder. And I totally agree with all that. And I think, you know, my sister listens to meditation and a lot of self-help. She reads self-help books and does all that stuff. I do feel like it helps her so much. Yeah. And I just haven't gotten to that point of doing that yet, but I highly recommend, because I see the impact it makes on her. But I just, every time I sit and think about meditating, I'm like, oh my God, I have so many other things I should be doing.
I know, it's really hard. Yeah. But I use Calm, and like, you know, Jay Shetty, right? He's like a monk turned podcast host slash like motivational speaker. And he just has a part, he recently had a partnership with Calm, and his meditations are only 7 minutes, but like he talks for like the first three. So you're only really meditating for like 4 minutes. So it's just a good way to like gear towards it. And like, it's even, but even with people who meditate, it's like, it's impossible not to have like a random thought that comes up. Do you know what I mean? Like there's just no way, like even like the expert monks say that. So, but it's hard to focus. Okay. So my podcast is called The City Confessions. And basically after I, you know, speak with my guests, I love for them to share a confession. So Alexis, if you can share a confession, and this can be anything, this could be something that like is a fun fact or like something people don't know about you.
I don't know. This is confession. I have to think about this one.
Yeah, think. You can relate it back to like anything, like dating, New York City.
I guess that, no, I talk to my dog when no one else is around. Is that
I mean, I don't have a dog, but I feel like people do that all the time, but it's fine if that's like
for her. I think that when I first started my account, I was the first person to ask myself a question. So like I went on my personal account and I was like,
I love that.
What's a great first date spot? And I answered it and posted on my stories. And now it's like mind boggling because I have so many questions that I can't even get to all of them, even close. And if I ever thought that I would be here right now from like me asking myself a question in the beginning and like kind of faking it, you got to fake it till you make it, I guess. And I think that that like spiraled those few questions that I asked myself, like spiraled into other people slowly asking me questions. So I don't know if I've ever like said that before. So that's my confession.
Oh my God. I love that so much because I'm sure people would be surprised when you say that and when they listen to it. But what I love most about it is that it showed that, I mean, you can see it and say it was fake it till you make it, which I'm a firm believer in that phrase, but I feel like it was also a way for you to support yourself in those aspects, because there are a lot of times in this journey, whatever the journey, it could be social media, your personal life, whatever, even the quest for love, right? Because that's like a good theme for this podcast. It's like, sometimes we don't really know what we're doing and we might not have the support from others, but it's like, offer it to yourself because it's just a good way for you to remind yourself you're in the right path. So like by you asking yourself that question, even though it came from you, I feel like you are training yourself in a way to be like, what would it be like had somebody else asked me that? And then like, look at where you're at now. So I think it's like a beautiful, I don't know, like story for sure.
Yeah. No, when I think back to it, it was like I was manifesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, it's crazy.
I love it. Okay, so we're wrapping up, but I like to do this quick fire round with New York City questions in the end. So I'll ask you a question and you can answer it with one word or one phrase. Okay. If you can describe New York City in one word, what would it be?
chaotic.
Okay. What is your favorite thing about New York?
The restaurants.
And your least favorite thing?
The weather.
Okay, and this is going to be maybe hard or maybe easy, but what is your favorite New York City spot or restaurant? But I guess people could just go to your blog. But right now, as we are recording, like, what is your current favorite go-to spot?
I usually go back to Via Carota. I love that place.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's like fun, like trendy but casual, and delicious homemade pastas and a good vibe.
Yeah. And if you can thank New York City for one thing, what would it be?
Giving me like a playground that I can create a business out of.
Yes, I love it. And I just like always, not that I forget, but a lot of people that I have on aren't in like natives. So it's like amazing that you are, just because, you know, we're rare, right? We're like unicorns in the city.
I know.
So you have to own it. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so now is your chance to plug away. I'm going to have all of your information in the description if you're watching this on YouTube or in the show notes in the podcast. But are you currently working on anything that you like to review? And what can the world be on the lookout from you and New York City Date Night in 2022?
Yeah. So first of all, you can always find me on Instagram, NYC Date Night. Night is spelled N-I-T-E, and I have a website. But this year I am also creating a podcast following in your footsteps. It's going to be called the Date Night Podcast, and it's going to be focused just, my Instagram is focused a lot on, you know, the New York City restaurant scene, and like where to take your date. And it also talks about dating. So the podcast is going to be focused just on dating and relationships.
I love it.
Yeah, definitely look out for that.
Amazing. Okay. And then my final question for you is, what is the number one thing you love about yourself?
How I can read people, like how I'm very perceptive. Mm. And my common sense. I guess that's kind of two different things, but also a little bit intertwined.
Yeah. No, I love that. All right. Well, thank you so much, Alexis, for coming on and speaking with me and my audience. I hope you all enjoyed this episode. Make sure you follow Alexis and stay tuned for next week's episode. All right. Bye.